Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. Businesses of many kinds use water to clean up outdoors. What might that runoff water be carrying as it makes its way into a lake or a bayou? The Soil Plant Analysis Laboratory at the University of Louisiana at Monroe provides testing services for wastewater, including the source of the city of Monroe's drinking water, that's Bayou Desired. They may also be able to tell you what to add to your yard to get better flowers. Terry Lancaster is the director of the ULM Soil Plant Analysis Lab. Welcome to the ULM Forum.
Thank you, Jay. I'm happy for the opportunity to be here.
The ULM Soil Plant Analysis Laboratory, you've described it as one of the best kept secrets on the university campus. Why is that?
Because hardly anybody knows about us. We do a lot of different work for cities and industries around the area and also just people off the street. We have a lot to offer.
As the Soil Plant Analysis Laboratory, I understand you actually do far more water testing than you do in the soil and plant analysis, although all of that is certainly available.
Yes. We were established in 1979 by the legislature, and at that time, this was such a big farming community that they wanted an area, a laboratory that could test soil and plant analysis, and so that's how we were first set up.
Kind of at the opposite end of the state from Baton Rouge, LSU.
Right. So since then, just as time has gone on and different environmental issues have evolved, we've tried to evolve with it. And so now we do water and wastewater analysis for, like I said before, the towns and cities and industries around this area.
What's the largest need for water testing in the area?
Well, the largest need is for the wastewater analysis, because if anybody discharges anything into a river, stream, or waterway in Louisiana, they have to have a permit to do so. And so that's when they bring the water to us, and we test it for the parameters that are need to be tested for permit and send them back the results.
I was found it unusual, the wide variety of different kinds of industries that are required to have those permits and to do the testing for
them. That's correct. It can be anybody from like the city of Monroe to a car wash, a car dealership, anybody that discharges waste water or water into the streams and waterways in Louisiana, they have to have a permit. Trailer parks.
And one of the things that you've been going through recently is, in order to apply for those permits, they have to be tested by an accredited lab.
That's correct.
And you've been going through an accreditation process.
Yes. We're accredited through the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality, and we've had accreditation. I think the process started in 1998, and so we've been accredited ever since then.
So what does it take to go through that process?
Well, first, of course, the auditors come in, and they look at how you're doing. If you're passing, we have to do proficiency testing, which means we get samples in that we don't know what the answer is going to be to the different parameters, and we either pass or fail that, so they look at the results of that. And we have to have a quality assurance manual, and that manual has to have certain things in it that they need for the lab to run correctly. We have standard operating procedures, and they review those. They'll talk to each of the analysts and see how qualified they are doing their test, and then they look at our sampling and handling procedures.
You mentioned that when the legislature first started the Soil Plant Analysis Laboratory, it was really looking at agriculture.
Yes.
You still do a lot of work for agriculture. Mm-hmm. What kind of work for farmers and the agricultural societies, I guess, in the area?
They used to do thousands and thousands of soil tests. And so now, you know, we've really cut back on that. But we still do testing for lawns and gardens and, you know, flowers, roses. And some people will bring samples in from the food plots at different deer camp areas. And so that's what we're mainly doing on the soil. That's what we're mainly doing.
So less from farmers and more from individuals who are looking to find out.
Right.
And what can they learn from having an analysis done on the soil?
Well, like if you brought your soil sample in for your lawn, we would give you fertilizer recommendations, basically to tell you what you needed to apply to your yard to make it grow really well.
And the same thing going for vegetables,
right,
or roses?
Any kind of, yeah, your garden, roses, any type of flower. We have specific recommendations for each thing, even, you know, like blueberries, watermelons, pumpkins. We actually did a study a couple of weeks ago for the zoo, and they had a pumpkin patch. And so he brought the soil over, and we had it tested, and we analyzed it just for the recommendations just for the pumpkin patch.
Terry Lancaster, what's the benefit of having a facility like the Soil Plant Analysis Laboratory right here in Northeast Louisiana, rather than having to send it off to someplace distant, either a different part of the state or a different part of the country even, the benefit of having something right here?
Well, the benefit is our location. You know, if you live in Monroe, or we even get customers from Ruston, Lake Providence area, we do the testing. We have different things that we test it for, anywhere from, like I said before, the water and wastewater discharge permits to your garden soil analysis for the food plots. Most of the time, whenever just a regular person off the street would bring in a soil sample for their flower beds or their garden or food plots, they bring it into us, and usually we have a pretty good turnaround time of 3 to 5 days. And so, you know,
which has got to be far shorter.
Yeah,
than
it's a whole lot faster than if you, you know, box it up and send it off somewhere else. So not only location, but we also, you know, and our client satisfaction and service is really important to us. That's one of the things that we really pride ourselves in, is whatever the client needs is what we try to give them.
So if someone wants to get some more information or has one of these elements that they need testing, what should they do next?
Well, first of all, they could call us, and our number is 318-342-1948, and we would be glad to discuss their problem or issue that they're having. And we would also tell them how to go about sampling. If it was water, wastewater, or if it's their yard or garden, we'd tell them how to do the sampling process. We're located at the corner of Northeast Drive and University on the campus of ULM. And we're in the Chemistry and Natural Science Building, room 117. We would also probably discuss with them the best parameters that they would need to run based on the problems they were having, and discuss estimated fee for that testing.
Terry Lancaster is the director of the Soil Plant Analysis Laboratory here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Terry, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jay.
Earlier this year, the film The King's Speech won the Academy Award for Best Picture and the Best Actor Award for Colin Firth. Firth portrays England's King George VI as he works to overcome his stuttering to lead England during World War II. Closer to home, the Kitty DeGree Speech and Hearing Center at ULM is a local resource for treating stuttering and other speech problems. Its director joins me now, Dr. Johanna Boat. Welcome to the ULM Forum.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
In the 2 years since the center opened, you've provided help to a great many people. What sort of services are available to the public?
We provide many different types of services to people, from birth to geriatrics, really the whole lifespan. And we provide services to people with many different types of disorders. So kind of your run-of-the-mill speech problems, difficulty pronouncing R's and S's and L's, to language problems, children who have difficulty with underlying grammar problems or other language problems related to vocabulary, for instance, which often impacts them in terms of schooling with reading and writing issues. We also see people who have difficulty with stuttering. We've had really quite an increase over the last couple of months in terms of the clients that we have with stuttering problems, probably related to all of the publicity from The King's Speech.
And I haven't seen the film yet, yeah, but I've heard really good things about it. That's been a kind of an influx for you at the center.
It has been. We have several clients, especially children with stuttering problems, that will start treatment over the summer. We're very happy that we can be that resource for those people that need those services.
And I understand you took a class to go see the film when it came out.
We did. We did. We got together as a class, the master's level stuttering class here at ULM, and we took a trip to see The King's Speech at Tinseltown in West Monroe.
So what kind of reflections did the students have after seeing that?
I had them write a paper about the movie. And I had them reflect on the different types of behaviors that they saw specific to stuttering, whether they heard sound repetitions or syllable repetitions or word repetitions. And I had them reflect on the type of therapy that was given. As a therapist for stuttering, we can address those specific stuttering events directly. But a lot of the stuttering disorder has to do with how the person feels about those behaviors. and how that person reacts to the behaviors themselves. So modern stuttering therapy involves not just addressing those stuttering behaviors and abolishing them completely, but really dealing with underlying thoughts and feelings about the stuttering as well.
So has that been something that you've seen change, maybe since it was a period film, something that you've seen change in the practice of the psychology aspect of treating stuttering?
Absolutely. You'll see things in the film, kind of traditional methods of treating stuttering, things like punishment for the stuttering behavior, or kind of ridiculous things like putting marbles in the mouth and then being forced to talk. So those kind of traditional things that relate more to traditional types of behavioral therapy. Behaviorism is still part of stuttering therapy, but much more these days, we're getting more internal about it and really considering how people feel, what they think about the disorder itself, because really the issue is whether that stuttering behavior is going to handicap someone in the real world. And if you, as the person who stutters, don't view it as so much of a handicap, then it won't be handicapping to you. And the same applies to people in the person who stutters environment. So if the people who, you know, your parents, your friends, if they listen to what you say rather than how you're saying it, really focus on communicating rather than the stuttering itself, and really are willing to consider their own thoughts and feelings about the disorder, much more can be done to reduce that handicapping condition.
Are you mostly seeing in terms of a greater awareness for stuttering?
Absolutely. There's been so much media attention. We had a wonderful article that ran in the local paper, and that was picked up by various news sources throughout the country. And there have been lots of other stories related to the King's Speech and its effects kind of in the mass media. So I think that that there is more general public awareness about stuttering because of the movie, and it's really affected us locally as well. Like I said, we have many more clients who may have gone on to live with the problem unresolved, who are now coming to the Kitty Degree Center to help themselves with the problem. So it's nice to see that local impact as well.
We've talked a lot about stuttering, but what are some other common problems that parents might be noticing in their kids who they would need to seek some therapy?
As a parent of a young child, some things to look out for are the difference between speech and language. So a parent might have a child who is having difficulty producing the early speech sounds. By the time a child is 2, and definitely by the time a child is 3, he or she should be able to produce the sounds that are produced with the lips. So P's, B's, and M's, as well as W's, should definitely be in at least in the initial position of words by the time a child is 2-ish or 3 at least. And then as opposed to that, we might look for language problems. In the early years, really language relates to vocabulary specifically. And so by the time a child is 1 year old, he or she should have an expressive vocabulary of around 10 words. And then that vocabulary should expand to about 50 words by the time the child is 2, and then about 200 or 300 words by the time the child is 3. Looking for those kind of milestones and just kind of being aware as a parent in terms of speech sound production and vocabulary, those are some basic things to be aware of.
And how can someone get in touch with the center?
In order to contact the Kitty Degree Speech and Hearing Center, one can contact Ms. Sarah Hayes, who is our clinical coordinator. The number that you can reach her at is 342-1395.
Dr. Johanna Boat is the head of speech-language pathology here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Comments or questions about the show can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu or send them to ULM Forum, care of KEDM Public Radio, 250 Stubbs Hall, 401 Bayou Drive, Monroe, Louisiana, 71209. Podcasts of the ULM Forum are available online at kedm.org in the listening room.